Hey folks, this is Jesse Cope, back with another episode of the American Soul Podcast. Hope y'all are doing well, wherever y'all are, whatever part of the day you're in. Sure to appreciate you joining me, giving me a little bit of your day, time, energy. Hopefully it gives you something to look forward to. Maybe gives you something to listen to while you're doing laundry or dishes or cooking or cleaning or driving up and down the road, lunch. Really, hopefully it gives you something to do with somebody else, something to listen to, whether you're in junior high or high school or college or an adult, friend, family, spouse, parent, child, something to listen to. It's always better, folks, when we do this stuff together. At least it seems that way to me. So maybe it gives you a little sense of community or something. It does to me. I enjoy getting on here. I'm very grateful for those of y'all that leave the kind comments online or tell me in person. Thank you so much. They mean a lot. I'm very grateful for them. Y'all kind of keep me going. So. Homestead. Looks like we might get a little break in the rain. So hopefully that lets us get back out and get some work done on the duck coop because they need to be moved. It's revolting. And I think that's about it. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for you, Father, and your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, your forgiveness. Thank you for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us, Father. Clean water to drink, clothes to wear, good food to eat, cars that run, electricity, healthy spouse, children, parents, a job that pays the bills, the ability to read your word and worship you and spend time with you in the manner that we see fit without fear of persecution. Help us to remember those around the world, Father, our brothers and our sisters who are persecuted, and help it to drive us on not to take that liberty for granted here in America and in any other country where they have that ability. And to be good stewards of that talent, that ability that you've given us, to try and help bring that to those who are persecuted, who are attacked, imprisoned, tortured, raped, killed, simply because they choose to follow your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to be good stewards, Father, please. And guide my words here. Lord, your Son's name we pray. Amen. Have you made time to read your Bible today? Have you carved that little section of your day out, set it aside, whether it's early in the morning, late in the evening, but where you have the energy to really focus on it, folks? I'm pretty bad about that sometimes. I just kind of go through the motions. I find myself doing that. And I have to stop sometimes and go back and reread a verse or two. Have you made time to pray? Talk to God? I mean, surely the God of the entire universe deserves at least a few minutes each day of our attention. Have you made time for your spouse? Which is theoretically the one person on this planet who is the most important. Out of everybody else, and it's not even a close second. More important than kids, more important than parents, more important than friends, more important than imaginary people online, more important than professional athletes, actors, actresses. Have you made time to love them? We've been talking about democracy, and what a danger that is. Horrible idea. And we have thrown this word around. Democracy has come to mean something that it didn't mean to our founders. They were afraid of democracy. We've gone through a number of quotes. We're going to go through some more today. They didn't want the mob mentality. They knew that democracy constantly causes chaos, turbulence, that you lose your rights in a democracy. You lose your security in a democracy. And eventually, that democracy destroys itself. And you end up with something even worse. Democracy, this is John Adams. Democracy will soon degenerate into an anarchy. Such an anarchy that every man will do what is right in his own eyes, and no man's life or property or reputation or liberty will be secure. And every one of these will soon mold itself into a system of subordination of all the moral virtues and intellectual abilities, all the powers of wealth, beauty, wit, and science to the wanton pleasures, the capricious will, and the execrable, abominable cruelty of one or a very few. Mean, sounds pretty similar to what we've got going on a lot today. Every man's going to do what's right in his own eyes, right? I mean, how often do we hear that today? Everybody's truth is valid from their own point of view. Well, this is my truth, and that's your truth. I mean, the ludicrous, just the insanity of that statement alone, folks. This is your truth and this is my truth. And that comes from the devil doing a really good job of pretending that truth is subjective instead of objective. Like that we can change truth whenever we want to fit different situations. Truth doesn't change, folks. If you're looking at a tree from one side and you walk around to the other side, it doesn't suddenly become a dog from the other point of view. It's still a tree. It might look different. The circumstances of where you're standing might change a little, right? You might be under the shade, or you might be out in the sun or the rain. But it's still a tree. The viewpoint doesn't change the truth. It might appear taller from one side. Maybe you're on a hill. Maybe the upslope side makes the tree look shorter and the downslope side makes the tree look taller. But hey, that's not really even true. The tree didn't change height, it's just our point of reference that changed. A tree is still a tree and it's still the exact same height. Every man will do what's right in his own eyes. No man's life or property or reputation or liberty will be secure. That echoes what James Madison said that we read a few days ago, right? Democracies are incompatible. They've always been found to be incompatible with personal security or the rights of property. Reputation, liberty. Look at how many people today are accused of something. And it's been this way for a few decades. I think I've shared this on here before, but if I haven't, it's valid. When we were going through the basic school, I had a commander that pulled all the boys aside at the very end. And he told us, he said, "Hey, look, if you ever find yourself as a Marine in a situation with a female Marine and y'all are alone, it's time for you to leave as the man. It's time for you to leave." Because the number of careers that have been ruined because a woman said that something happened, even if it was later showed that was not true, that life was still, that career was over. And that's just one example, folks. You could go a lot of different directions. That's just one I have. But you can look so many times today, people are accused of something. And then it turns out not to be true, but the damage has already been done. And all of this, right? A man's life, property, reputation, liberty, everything turns itself, John Adams says, into the system where you have morality and virtue, your intellectual abilities, right? Wealth, beauty, wit, science. That last one's huge, right? Science. They will all be subverted, subordinate to pleasures, capricious. I think I said, I don't even know what I said a while ago, and cruelty. Look at transgenderism for a minute. Even just a couple decades ago, but really, you go back, if you could go back in time or bring somebody from the past forward, a scientist from, say, like the 80s or 70s, maybe even the 50s or 60s, and tell them, "Hey, look, we have figured out that just because you're a man doesn't mean you're a man. Isn't that great?" They would look at you truly like you were dumber than a bag of bricks. You can't be a woman if you have XY chromosomes in your body. You will always be a man. Every new cell in your body will always have XY chromosomes. You will always be male. And yet we have subverted science to pleasure, to cruelty. Of the left in this case, each one, right? Look at wealth. Wealth is another great one. Look at how we're spending our money. We just talked about this. We have all of these colleges across the country right now that are in these anti-Semitic rages, and we give billions of taxpayer dollars to these colleges. We have illegal immigrants flooding the country, hurting our own citizens, raping them, killing them, stealing from them, just by their very existence here in the country, taking resources from medical, from hospitals, from clinics, from schools, away from American citizens, American children. And we're giving them billions in taxpayer money. We're stealing, we're taking from taxpayers that are American citizens and giving to people that are hurting American citizens. That's cruel. So you see the truth in Adam's statement there again. Beauty, wit, I mean, it's the political correctness. It's the subversion to that, which is really just subversion to evil. We don't know the truth anymore because we don't teach the Bible. We don't teach our kids that. So we can't recognize it. We've read each of these quotes before. Well, maybe we'll come back to that. Maybe we'll come back to that. I think I've got a couple more. Maybe just one more if I can find it. Yeah, a few more. Alexander Hamilton. We are forming a Republican government. Real liberty is never found in despotism or in the extremes of democracy. And that's what we're really getting at, right, folks? Universal voting, mob, pure democracy, that's where we're headed. There's no liberty there. You can't have liberty away from the Spirit of God. And you cannot have the Spirit of God. The Bible does not support a pure democracy, a mob democracy. Benjamin Rush, a simple democracy, what I've been calling a pure democracy, is the devil's own government. That's probably, I should have just read that quote, and then that should have been it for the day for the podcast. A simple democracy is the devil's own government. Benjamin Franklin, this may be one of my favorite ones. Democracy is two wolves and a lamb voting on what to have for lunch. Liberty is a well-armed lamb contesting the vote. And there's a lot there, isn't there? Just in those two sentences. Democracy is two wolves and a lamb voting on what to have for lunch. Once you get past the point, folks, where there's a real famous quote from one of our founding fathers about this, and I can't remember who or what it was exactly, but it was along the lines of once the people figure out that they can vote stuff for themselves, then you're on the path to destruction. And that's why today this representation without taxation is so devastating because we have so many people, it's a huge percentage of people now, almost 50%, that don't pay federal, that pay a net zero or a net loss into the federal treasury, meaning they take more out than they put in. Whether that means they don't pay any to begin with, or that means they pay some and then they get more back, we have a huge chunk of society that now pays nothing in, and yet they still get to vote on how to spend other people's money. I just shouldn't be, folks. You've got to have some skin in the game. There has to be some requirement for voting. Being a citizen should not automatically give you the right to vote. It ought to give you all the rights and privileges of being a citizen, but voting shouldn't be one of them. Our founders knew what they were doing when they did not make voting universal. Now, they did it wrong. But these men weren't perfect, folks. They put together a heck of a system. We just need to make a few corrections to it here and there. But instead of strengthening the pillars, fixing the pillars that maybe had some cracks in them, we've widened the cracks. We've outright broken a few of the pillars holding up the nation. And then the second sentence here, liberty is a well-armed lamb contesting the vote. This idea that the Second Amendment was made for hunting or even for self-defense in a home, those were just caveats. Those were just extra things, folks. The Second Amendment was written by people who knew what it was like to not be armed against a tyrannical government. to knew they knew, or their preceding generation almost immediately knew what it was like to be under the thumb of tyranny. And they wanted to make sure that the people had the ability to stand up to tyranny. Our founders created the Second Amendment for exactly the kind of government that the left is instituting today and has been attempting to institute for the last century. That is a textbook example of why our founders created the Second Amendment, so that we're not just a helpless lamb with two wolves at dinner. A lot of imagery there for God and Jesus Christ in the Bible too. God bless y'all. God bless your families. God bless your marriages. God bless America. We'll talk to y'all again real soon, folks. Looking forward to it.